Can These Bones Live? It's our title. Ezekiel 37, 1-14 is our text this morning. Today is the fifth Sunday in the season of Lent. We have been looking at themes of Lent, including temptation, waiting patiently for God's promises, receiving water in the desert, and the blind receiving sight. Today we get to one of the bleakest themes of all, the idea of death itself and facing that. In this life, we face physical death. We face also spiritual death, separation from God, which if left untreated, can extend into eternity. Our text comes from Ezekiel. Ezekiel was alive about 600 years before Jesus' time. This was a time of destruction for the Israelites, God's chosen people, those that He had chosen to represent Him in the world. They hadn't done that well. They were often turning away from worshiping Him. The kingdom had been split in two, and over 100 years earlier, the northern kingdom had been destroyed, and the people taken into exile. In Ezekiel's life, the southern kingdom was conquered, and in several waves, people were deported from that country, exiled from their country into others, particularly in Babylon. Ezekiel was one who had been deported in one of those earlier waves. The people that were with him in Babylon had bemoaned their situation, but thought that there was still hope. Maybe they would get back, because the temple in the capital city of Jerusalem was still there. God was still there, and He might rescue them. The first part of the book of Ezekiel happened during that time, and He kept telling them time and time again, "No, you left God. He's not coming to rescue you in the way that you want." And even with this warning, the people still didn't worship God. And God said He will remove His presence from Jerusalem, from the temple that where He located His presence in a special way. We know He's everywhere, but He was there in a special way. And He said He would remove His presence from there, and the temple would be destroyed. And the people didn't listen. The people, even with Ezekiel that had been exiled, still didn't listen. They didn't believe him that that would happen until it did. The consequence of sin, of rebellion against God, is death. And for the Israelite nation, that meant death as a nation. But God is always one who is ready to give hope. And so even though He has told the Israelites that this time away from their country will last decades, it will come to an end. This time will come to an end, and they will have restoration as a nation. And God will give them a spirit that worships Him better than they did before. Now, they find this hard to believe. They still don't listen to Ezekiel, even now that he's preaching something different. And we hear that doubt in the middle of our text today. They are feeling dead. Now that their capital and the temple are destroyed, they're feeling dead, like there's no hope. And as Ezekiel gives them God's words of hope, God gives him a vision that demonstrates in an amazing picture what that hope is. As we hear the hope that God was giving to the Israelites, we will consider this morning, along with the other texts that we heard read today, the hope that God has for us. So our text this morning is from Ezekiel 37, verses 1-14. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that. Ezekiel 37, 1-14, reading in Jesus' name. "The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Father, thank you for this word to us. Thank you for this prophecy to people who had trouble believing, had trouble seeing hope, and that you gave Ezekiel this vision to express to them the hope that you were giving them. As we consider these words this morning, I ask that you would help us and guide us to hear what the hope that you have for us as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'll invite the kids that want to come up to the front here. All right, thanks for coming up. Hey, if you saw a pile of bones ever, would you imagine that those bones were going to get up and start moving around? No. If you saw a skeleton, do you think it would start moving? Would you expect it to? I've got a picture of a skeleton for you here. He looks kind of fun, actually. Maybe he is a little bit alive. I'm going to give you one of these in a minute. But no, if you see a skeleton, you think that skeleton's dead, right? Our story today has to do with a vision that Ezekiel had, seeing bones that came to life in a way. Is that kind of surprising? Yeah. We're going to listen for in this story. We're going to listen to how God gives life and how He gives us life, and in what way we need His life. So you can be listening for that. I'm going to give you a picture of this skeleton to take. We got plenty of them. What, Blas? You saw a skeleton moving once? Okay. I don't know what skeleton that was. You got to wonder what's going on in our house. I don't know. Oh, boy. Maybe I'm going to be afraid at night now. We'll see. Well, Ezekiel has been preaching to the people about God restoring them as a nation that represents Him. But they have doubts. And God gives Ezekiel this vision. In this vision, He puts him in the middle of a valley full of bones. Now, it's not enough in this vision for him to just look at these bones and say, oh, that's interesting. There are some bones. Okay, all right. What's that all about? It's not enough to just look at the bones. God leads him through the valley, back and forth, so he can get a good picture of what is in this valley, these bones. It's full of these bones. As he looks around, he sees bones everywhere. Many bones, bones that are described as being dry. Now, I think we can imagine what that means. Dry bones are those that are far from life. The life is long gone from them, from these bones. And they've been there a long time. They've been laying out there for a long time. The marrow is dry. Everything is dried up in these bones. And God speaks to Ezekiel and he asks him a question. Can these bones live? Now, what would you say if somebody asked you about a pile of bones, can these bones live? I think you would say, no. No, that's a silly question, right? If you and I were in this valley looking at a valley of dry bones, and if you asked me, hey, Pastor Danny, can these bones live? I would turn to you and say, well, no, are you kidding? Bones? Are they going to live? But God asks Ezekiel this question, and Ezekiel knows something about God. Maybe this feels like a trick question to him. What is possible? What is not possible with God? He says, well, Sovereign Lord, you know whether they can live again. I mean, normally the answer is no, but what does God have in mind? Skipping ahead a little to the explanation of this vision, God says to Ezekiel, these bones that you see in this valley are the people of Israel. Because of their condition of exile, separated from the worship in the temple, separated from their homeland, separated from their people, scattered all around to various places in the world, they say, we are dried up. The temple is destroyed. We're cut off from one another and from God. Our hope is gone. Speaking metaphorically of the nation, if someone asked them the question, can these metaphorical bones of this nation live? They would say, no. No, we're dead. We're gone. Dispersed around the world. But maybe Ezekiel might say, Sovereign Lord, only you know. So God gives Ezekiel instructions. Preach to the bones. Now, even if all of you fell asleep during this sermon, you would not be as bad an audience as a bunch of dry bones. I think that would be pretty bad. You can't even yell loudly to wake them up, right? You can't tell a joke and hope that they show some life. That just doesn't work. What is he going to preach to these dry bones that's going to do anything? They don't have ears. They can't hear it, right? Can they? God simply tells him to preach, and the content of what he's supposed to preach is what God is going to do. He just says, tell them what I'm going to do. I'm going to make, speaking to the bones, he says, I'm going to make breath enter you, and you will come to life. For that to happen, I'm going to attach tendons and flesh, muscle, cover you with skin. The body that is gone is going to be restored, and I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. What is this going to do for you? He says, it's going to show you that I am the Lord, is God's word to these bones. Because only He can give life to something that doesn't have it, to something that's dead. So Ezekiel does that. He preaches to the bones, and the word of God has an impact. First he hears a noise, a rattling sound. I mean, can you imagine this? Maybe you've seen in a movie or a cartoon where you have a skeleton that's moving around, and you can imagine that sound of the skeleton's bones rattling together, right? Or maybe you've had something like that. Maybe you've seen a fake skeleton that you kind of, control like this, and you hear that rattling of those bones together. The bones start to come together, and then tendons and flesh start growing on them, filling them out, skin covers them, the bodies are there, but they're not quite alive yet. God gives some further instruction to Ezekiel. Prophesy to the breath, to the wind. Now, maybe you remember having heard this before. The Hebrew word for breath and spirit and wind is the same word. It's used for all three of those things. And Greek also has a word that represents all three of those. So these are tied together, especially here in this vision. They're all tied together here. In a sense, we're being brought back to the state of creation. As God breathed life into Adam's body, a personal, relational connection with him. The sense of preaching the God, preaching to the wind then, to the breath, is in a sense preaching to God's Spirit. There's a sense of prayer here. He's been preaching to the bones, and then now we have this sense of prayer to the Spirit, to God's Spirit. And that happens. Ezekiel does that. And these bodies came to life as the Spirit of God breathed life into them. Now, where is this vision going? The people of Israel have said that they're like these dry bones. There's no hope. There can be no life. What about the people of Israel then? This vision applies to them. So God tells Ezekiel the words he wants him to preach to them. Here's what he preaches to them, to the people. He preached to the bones in the vision. Now he preaches to the people of Israel. And it goes together. Here's what he preaches to them. I'm going to bring you out of your graves. The national body will have physical life again. As a nation, you're just bones, but you will have physical life again. They will be physically restored to the land as a nation. Not everyone will go back, but many will, and they will be given the opportunity to go back to that land. What will this show them? What will they see through this act of God? That He is the Lord. And what is impossible otherwise is possible with Him. And there will be not only physical restoration of the nation, but He will put a new spirit in them. Spiritual resurrection and life for the nation. Where they struggled to obey and follow Him before, in a big way, He will put new spiritual life in them. Now, in a fallen, corrupt world, that would not happen perfectly. But they did, in a sense, get new life. And they did, in a sense, follow Him better than they ever did before this happened to them. And so even in Jesus' time, they were better at following God than they had been before the exile happened. Now, God is telling them what He's going to do so that when it happens, they know that He did it. God would restore the life to this nation that had died and would be resurrected to serve His purposes. Now, that gives them hope as a nation. But what does it mean for individuals? And what does it mean for us? Even the picture of resurrection here doesn't actually promise resurrection from the dead for individuals. Is all that God has for them a national restoration? Is that all He has for them? No, that's not all. But we need to go beyond this vision somewhere else to find it. This vision leads us there. We go somewhere else to find that word. We go to our gospel reading from John. As Jesus heard about the death of His friend Lazarus, He met the dead man's sisters, Mary and Martha. They were grieving the loss of their brother. Jesus grieved the loss of His friend. Jesus says He can give new life. His friend, their brother, will live again. As they approach the tomb, if Jesus had asked the question, can this body live? The easy answer would be, no. Even after Martha said that she believed in the resurrection, it appears her answer would have been, no, not in this life, not now. If we have hope in life after death, that's where we will see Him again. But maybe a good answer for Jesus' question would have been, if he had asked that question, would be, well, Jesus, you know. You know if he can live again. Jesus had them open the tomb. 4 days, Lazarus had been dead. Could he live again? No. Not normally. He was dead. Well, dead. For the benefit of those around, Jesus thanked God for hearing him in what he was about to do. And after thanking God, the voice of the one who said, let there be light, and there was light, who said, let the land produce, and it produced, who breathed life into Adam and gave life to humanity, whose word was the word that gave life to those dead bones in Ezekiel's vision, whose word restored the nation of Israel to their land, who said to others, your sins are forgiven, and they were. That voice said to the dead man, Lazarus, come out. What body, whether with or without life previously, would not be able to do what that voice said? The voice of Jesus calling Lazarus out of the tomb carried with it the life and the power necessary to follow his word. And that dead man did what dead men don't do. He got up and he came out. So let's see where we are here. God restored a nation, his people, in service to him, which actually ended up being the descendants of the people that he was originally preaching to, the people that had been exiled for the most part. It's just a continuation through time. He gave new life to the nation, but not to the individuals, those who were already dead. He didn't do that at that time. To Lazarus, he gave new life, physical life. But he doesn't do that for everyone in this life. And Lazarus died again. Is that all that God has for us? We understand that in this broken world, we all die. But more than that, we begin life spiritually dead, separated from God. And knowing that what separates us from God is our rebellion against him, and that even one little bit of rebellion is never able to be made up for. We can never make up for that by any obedience, even just a little bit of rebellion. If we truly understand that, if we truly understand that there is nothing that we can do to gain anything in God's presence, then we might ask the question, can these bones live? Can this spiritual, these spiritual bones that are dead, can they live? And our answer would be, no. There's nothing that we can do to gain life. But if God asks us the question, we might answer, Sovereign Lord, you know. Is a restored nation and temporary resurrection only to die again later? Is that all that God has for us? No, that's not all. And that's what Paul assured us of in our reading from Romans. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Attempts to follow the law just leave us dead. There is no life there. But there is life in Christ. And we hear the word of God saying, I love you. That's the word that he preaches to us. Jesus says, I have given my life for you. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And that word has the power that as we receive it, it produces life and faith in us. God's Spirit is living in us. And Paul gives us the best news then. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Ezekiel's vision may have just been about the restoration of the nation. Lazarus was just raised from the dead to continue in his life until he died again. And we have no hope that when we die, God might raise us again to life to live a few more years longer before we die again. We have no hope that he might do that, to give us more years, if that would even be desirable. But all of these things taken together as God's word give us the promise that while our souls and spirits are dead without Him, dry bones with no life, His word gives life. Now, if we've been at a time in our life where we're new to receiving that, we may not notice a drastic change in our current surroundings. Maybe we've been living with this new life for years, and we know that it doesn't fix all of our problems in life. But this promise that God gives us is even for here and now. We have God's Spirit in us if we have received this word. And we have the promise that this eternal life that has begun even now will continue after Jesus returns. Whether we die before then and need physical resurrection, or whether we're alive when He returns and are simply transformed into our new bodies. So we ask the question, can these bones live? And because God's word says it, we can answer clearly, yes. Yes, He gives life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this vision to Israel, to the nation. Thank You for the record of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And what these things tell us about the power of Your word. Thank You for the promise that You give, transmitted to us through the words of Jesus and the apostles, through Paul, to tell us and reassure us that we have life in You, in Your word, through what Jesus has done for us. I ask that You would help us to trust that each and every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.